Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the November 19th, 2025 Economic Development Committee meeting. Just a couple of housekeeping items before we get started. For committee members, if you can please keep your video on for the duration of the meeting. And to be recognized, please use the raised hand feature or simply wave. For city staff, if you can please keep your video off for the duration of the meeting unless you are being asked to speak. And likewise, please use the raised hand feature to be recognized. For members of the public that are joining us this evening, thank you for joining us. If you can keep your video off for the duration of the meeting, unless you are speaking, that would be greatly appreciated. And likewise, you can use the raise hand feature to be recognized. With that, I'll take the roll. Jeff Ligon.
I am present.
Jeff is here. Alder Pritchett. I do not believe Alder Pritchett is here. Alder Duncan.
Here.
Alder Duncan is here. Kaba Ba.
Present.
Kaba's here. Melissa Gumbar and Alder Madison are both excused this evening. Seth Lenz.
Present.
Seth is here. Susan Balgren.
Here.
Susan's here. Chair Harris.
Here.
Chair Harris is here. It looks like we have a quorum, Chair. The floor is yours.
All right. Thank you, Matt. We'll start out. I would like to get a motion to accept the meeting minutes from the October 15th meeting.
Motion to approve.
Okay, the motion approved. Is there a second?
I'll second. Wait.
Right. Second by Susan. Any discussion? All right. All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? All right. Motion passes. All right. Next, do we have any public speakers tonight?
We do not.
Okay. Are there any members of the body that would like to make any disclosures or recusals concerning anything we're discussing tonight under the city's ethics code? Okay, I don't see any. So then we'll move right along to item number two, the City of Madison Economic Development Plan update. And I'll turn that over to Matt.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, everyone. So this evening, we have Rich Overmore with Fourth Economy to basically present you with some of the initial ideas that have been generated over the past year via the public meetings that we've had, the build sessions that we've had, conversations with you, just by way of sort of setting the groundwork as to where we're at in the process. We've been spending the past really year kind of generating ideas that individuals have. We now have, I think we're up to around 70 ideas. I don't think we're going to get to all of them tonight, but Rich is going to provide an overview of those that have sort of risen to the top. What Rich is presenting tonight is not the actual draft of the economic development plan. Rather, it's a collection of the input that we've received. Heading into next year is when we will start taking a deeper dive into these ideas and determining which of these will become recommendations for projects, programs, and other initiatives that we want to actually include in the economic development plan. So tonight, what we're hoping to hear from you is your initial reaction to some of these ideas. And also, almost as important is to you feel that we're missing anything, that we need to add anything that hasn't been picked up in some of the outreach we've had to date, that would be greatly appreciated as well. So with that, I'd like to turn things over to Rich to provide you with a summary of what we've learned to date.
Thank you, Matt, and hello, everyone. Nice to see you all again. We were looking forward to this opportunity. As Matt said, there was a lot. So I know he had sent around, I think, a copy of our slides on Friday, I think it was. So hopefully maybe you had a chance to peek at those, because I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. As you heard, there's a lot here. I will sort of go through this presentation. And my hope then is that as I'm going through, I'll pause and like we can talk through your initial reactions to what you're seeing. And I'm just orientating my screen here so I can see you and get the slides. There we go. You can all see my screen now, I think, with the slides, right? Yep. Okay, great. And can I advance them? So we'll skip right there. We're just going to get into it for sake of time. To Matt's point, so as we get in, you'll see some themes and you'll see some actions that we're talking about, and then you'll see some sample goals as a way of making those meaningful so that you understand what we're trying to accomplish or what the thing is that we're trying to either fix or take advantage of an opportunity. Again, these are, all the insights that we've heard from the community and data all come together in what you're going to see. Really focused on economic mobility, really thinking about the workforce of Madison, how to, keep local capital, and then opportunity jobs, which we'll talk about. Again, Matt, as Matt said, these are just the themes and the ideas that are sort of guiding us as we take the next step. There's a couple definitions and considerations as we get involved that we've been using throughout. And I just want to make sure to level set sort of what those are. One is the word ALICE, or the definition of ALICE, which is a United Way concept. You see it here. It's asset limited, income constrained, and employed. So these are folks that are working in our community. They're supporting the activities in the community, but are just above the poverty level. And so these are, a lot of times we think of these as our most at risk or vulnerable, especially things like when SNAP, the issues with SNAP that we've been having. These are the folks that pushes into a critical moment. And so it's really important to think about what that population. So we look at poverty, and then we look at the ALICE population in a community. And then opportunity jobs is something that we've been using. It's kind of building on the work that the Brookings Institute have done over the past few years. They also call them good jobs in different literature. Really, what they are jobs that have economic upward economic mobility, and they meet some criteria that includes things like above median wage. There are jobs you can access without necessarily a bachelor's degree. There's career growth opportunities. They have benefits, those kinds of things. So they're jobs that, again, opportunity, right? That it's not sort of a, get this job and you're just stuck and you're not making enough money to make ends meet. You're in poverty, those kinds of things. Last thing to consider as we look at all these things is, like, not everything is the role of the city to take a leadership role, that there are things where the city can be a leader. There are places where the city can be an investor, much as it does today in a number of areas and supporting nonprofits and other organizations. And there's others where the city can be a champion. So other organizations are doing good work, and the city and the mayor and all of you can use your voice as city representatives to support and celebrate those efforts and use to bring attention to those. So keep that in mind. We're not saying, and that'd be something that we'll work out as we go forward in terms of what is the specific role of the city and that they should play, because we know the team is finite, the dollars are finite. And so, we want to make sure that there is a blend of that type of role that they can play. I'll pause. Does that all make sense as like a overview of sort of like what we're some of the things we'll be talking about and kind of how we got here? Okay, I see a couple heads nodding. Great. So I'll jump right in. So I have like eight very, sometimes somebody asks me if we get paid by how many words are on the slide. That's not true. But we did sort of try to, we broke the slide barrier, I think, in a couple of these in terms of how many words. But we really wanted to find a way to present to you sort of the thematic area. So here, improving economic mobility and building generational wealth. You see that here there are a couple of action areas that we've talked about. So reducing income inequality, increasing income levels, increase assets of residents, and then champion non-monetary wealth creation. Under each of these, then you see that subheading, which I don't know if you could see my mouse there, but like the subheading are the actions that we're talking about. So the 70 things that Matt mentioned, they're things like offering targeted income supports for historically marginalized communities, celebrating area employers for creating opportunity jobs. So those are the actions that Matt described. And then as you see here with each one of these, we provided a sample goal. Again, these are things we can work on. What's realistic? How much is it going to cost, or what's the activity that needs to happen to get to that goal, that sample goal? We have, as you can see here, we've done a mix of looking at existing programs that either the city is leading or investing in, and then there are some that are new. And so you'll see a mix of those throughout. And we talked recently about, there'll be a way of tagging those to say like what's a new program versus what's something that's going to that we're recommending expand or even just continue the support to make sure we're not losing really good things that we've found as we've been doing this work. So I'm going to pause. My intention, and if that's okay, is not to read every one of these. I think you can all see them on your screen. I'd be more interested, rather than me just droning on and reading, like to hear as you look at these, the question up above there, do these goals that you're seeing feel right from what you see in the community? And to what Matt said, is there anything missing when you think about, and I think I'll just also make sure that in this one, yeah, there's just one slide around economic mobility and generational wealth. So when you hear that broad theme, is there anything that you feel is missing from this list, or anything you want to talk about that you see here on the screen?
Well, one thing, I had a question. If you go back a slide,
Oh, sure.
no, go forward one, I guess. Yeah. How would we, a city down payment assistance for 50 first generation buyers, how do you determine who would get money like that? There's literally thousands of people that would qualify. How do we
Yeah.
pick out 50?
Well, I think it's, yeah. I mean, obviously, other cities, you have created programs. The reason we're using a number like 50 is because that's a way you can estimate how much money you would put in. And it probably would be a first come, first serve, certain eligibility criteria in terms of income. Maybe there's some credit worthiness. Some cities have done this on their own, some partner with a bank to provide that kind of money. So, yeah, I mean, the devil's in those details, or the details are in those devils, I guess. Either way, I think, but that's, yeah, I think we're trying to say, like, putting numbers around it to say it's, you can't serve everyone, to your point. That's a big number, right? And how much money would that cost? But at least saying, like, to start out with some meaningful impact, these are kind of suggested numbers to show that we're making progress, right?
All right, thanks.
Yeah, Seth.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to kind of comment that, in several, like as we're talking about opportunity jobs, I know that as several of the, proposals that have come before the committee in the past, and we're looking at making some investments in small businesses and that sort of thing, we've often leaned into, asking about the jobs that are going to be created, the number of jobs. And so I felt like this was a good reflection of some of the previous conversations that the committee has had about other investments. So I did appreciate that alignment in there.
Yeah, and I think we picked up from conversations that, like, yeah, not every job is equal, right? Like, in that trying to create some. And then what we've heard from the community is celebrating those employers. Like, it doesn't have to be punitive, right? But employers that are creating those opportunity pipeline jobs, like, celebrate them, right? And sort of recognize them somehow. So, yeah, that's all mixed into the details. Jeff.
Yes, thank you. And thank you, I guess, for the start of the presentation. But so I think I may have asked this question some time ago, and I'm not quite sure if I ever got to the point where I felt like there was a answer to it. But it had to do with the kind of defining the I guess the generational wealth as a definition itself, and the parameters around how you create and start to give people opportunities to be able to create those things, and where we actually got the definition from, and where we actually found some of the tools that lend to the building of that thing. Was that something that the city itself kind of sat down and created? Where did we actually get that from? Are you taking it from another municipality somewhere else where they saw some results with things like this that we're talking about that helped build generational wealth over time? Or is this something that we're kind of starting to kind of piece together ourselves right now? And like I said, I think I asked this question a while back, and I don't think that we met enough for me to get a little bit of an answer on that, but I'm just curious about like the framework that we have right here, right
Yeah.
now, and where it was coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, like, I probably have probably the easiest way to explain is, like, yeah, I mean, we've seen there's a number of programs that the city has That are happening. So like one is like educational programs, right? That where somebody's educating in the next generation, and that allows so I have the resource enough to help with my children, right? To invest in their future and create that educational attainment that, in most cases propels them to have more wealth than I had. There are other things that are sort of like we've just been working with LISC in Jacksonville around like airship properties, so which are properties where somebody, for some reason, usually it's somebody passes away and leaves the property to their children, but they never go through the legal proceedings to actually transfer ownership of that property. And the challenge is then that's a very risky situation because, they don't pay a tax bill and all of a sudden a tax lien and somebody's coming in and buying that property and basically stealing that generational wealth. It is their asset. They just didn't do the legal process. It's almost silly when you look at it, right? It's not that much money. It's just painful time and, confusing. And so like there's an intervention to say, we know people are losing their generational wealth, as we speak. And so there's some proactive and some reactive trying to fix problems type of activity here. So, and we'll have examples to your point. We talk in the full stuff that we're working on right now in terms of the document. They're both like, yes, these are the city activities that are producing and supporting that. And then here are other examples that we think fit with what we're hearing could work in Madison.
Okay, thank you. And I just a quick follow up. Things like EdVest and the home ownership program and stuff like that. I think catch people sort of mid-generation more than like beginning of generation kind of things. So are there things that we're thinking about that are beginning of generation kind of programs that get people to the point where they would be that able to then use the 529 plan because there's education coming after that and the home ownership because now people have enough income and funding to be able to like so are we in terms of those type of programs versus mid-generational programs, are we thinking about adding some of those things to the pot?
Yeah, I can't exactly answer that off the top of my head, but I think that's a really good point about thinking about. We've more been thinking about which activities in general, but we haven't thought about, I don't think, the cohort or the age of the demographics. And as we've all seen the data, I know my kids, this is going to be a rough generation because of everything that's going on. And, yeah, that's a really good point. I'm going to go back. We'll look at, make sure that we're recommending things throughout the pipeline, the whatever, the age spectrum of whatever. Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. Seth, I think.
Yeah, sorry, this may be getting a two bit too far in the weeds, but just in looking at the first one where you're talking about, inventorying and analyzing kind of the current city programs and investments, many are with community agencies, as part of a delegation with the United Way that did a similar kind of engagement, looking at priorities for those investments. And I know this has a goal of increasing number of households served, and I just want to be mindful that we're not setting up a trap that we're worried about just serving more people, which may be a lower quality of service depending on what we're trying to accomplish. And so I think it's really important that we be mindful of other community investors in this space and ensuring that we're aligning some of the priorities and structures. I know that there's work happening between the United Way and the city and the county,
Yeah.
Who are making those investments. I think it's going to be really important that we just don't focus on, quantity over a quality programming, and that we're being intentional to actually, be impactful on the populations that we're trying to target and not just serve in a short, quick, method.
Super helpful comment. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. We can come back to any of these. I'm mindful of time where we started when you said what time you want to get out of here. So I'm gonna move to the next slide. This obviously begins the discussion. Happy to get more feedback as we go through, but I am going to move to the next slide. So workforce. So this one, there are two slides. partly because there were a number of actions that are sort of recommended in sample goals under each one of these. This one's really about, you know, the working population of Madison today, right? And so really thinking about, you know, what we heard a lot in the community is like they need support in a variety of areas. I don't think any of these are a surprise, right? So childcare being one of the areas, increasing housing units, and I'm gonna just toggle to the next and I'll come back. Mobility, so transportation, very, you guys are very car dependent and that's expensive, right? So are there other mobility options? Other barriers to work for people who've been in like the justice system. You know, I know there's been some bed in the box work done, but there's, you know, folks are telling us there's more that can be done there. And then health, you know, sort of health has such a direct impact on productivity and absenteeism and things like that. And so we've heard a lot about how do we help improve health of the workforce. So again, similar under each one of these, you see the actions right now that we're entertaining, looking to advance, and then some of what the goals, simple goals that we may want to set that says like, are we, if we implement the action, what's the goal? So again, I'm going to pause and let you guys, that was very helpful. I know I got like six action items out of the last comments that I need to make sure that we're following through on. There's probably more when I listen to the tape. But I'll pause and listen to you guys. So raise hand or shout out, I guess. Yeah.
Kaba?
Nope. Yeah, just one thought to add to this particular slide here. I'm hearing lots of great things, but I also want also to be mindful of one thing. What I'm hearing more is a lot of increasing support, you know, providing more financial sustenance and all these other things. As we work on increasing those services, we should also be mindful of that burden to the taxpayer, because as you know, the city is on a budget. So each time we increase everything, they have to raise taxes, and we are already tax burdened, particularly the fact that our city is 75% supported by taxes. We should also be looking at, instead of just supporting people, how to get them off of support so they can be self-supporting. That really should be part of the big picture. Is yes, we can help more people increase from 25 to 50 or whatever, but let's understand that as you increase that, you're also increasing cost. As the cost of the whole expense goes up, things get more expensive, we need to provide more support. But the actual solution is to find a way to actually get the people to be more self-supporting. So I would like to see more action towards that as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Kaba. Susan?
Thank you, Kaba. I completely hear what you're saying, and I'm trying to think as we look at all of these different goals, where is it in this plan that we actually do some type of analysis or an overview of some of the existing programs that are being funded? And I know that when I was working with a special committee, when I was working with that committee with the Greater Madison Chamber of Commerce, one of the things that we did was take a look at all of the various funding programs, those programs that were either funded by various resources within the city or other funders. And we saw some redundancy in some of the work. And I'm hoping somewhere in the plan that we can actually have, you know, some of this reevaluated or looked at to say, what do we have here presently and what do we still need? And I see a lot of what the in the themes one and two of the need. So how do we then take what we already have that probably could help work with some of those individuals or different groups or programs that have been funded that may just have to shift their focus, if that makes sense. Did that make sense to you? I tried to think about
it. Yeah. And I think, I mean, not to speak for Matt, I think that's part of the work, right? That's, you know, these are the recommendations. And we have, I think we've, in our work, we've identified certainly where their existing city, you know, either leading or investing efforts. So those are documented as part of our work. But, you know, what we weren't, you know, with this work, we weren't yet able to do an evaluation per se, right? To say the redundancies and what you said. Like, so I think that's like the next step in this is to convene around like, Yeah, let's make sure we're being efficient with what we're doing, and not duplicating, obviously. That's be silly at this point. So like, yeah, that's the work before the plan is finalized. There's that, some prioritization, right, of like what we're talking about, and then that kind of work going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that point that was just made, and I appreciate what Susan and Kaba said. This goes back to my initial point about having about where we're getting the information from to start these programs that lend to a certain kind of success, and whether or not they're coming from somewhere, and then we can draw from the successes that those other places have had. I think that's a very important part of this as we move forward here, because it's the kind of sorts of litmus test sets a litmus test for if for to count as the kind of success we're hoping to see and have. And part of that success is having people be able to kind of remove themselves from the process as they start to benefit from the efforts that are put in by the city. So I'm a advocate of, and I've said this before, I'm an advocate of stealing as much information and tools and things that other cities have put in place that have shown a certain kind of success that kind of is on the level of the size of the city, the kind of demographic the city is, the kind of educational levels the city is, the business sizes in the city, because then we're not just kind of out there trying to figure it. We're not at the beginning trying to figure things out. We know that we can pull from places that have had the success and what the results of those for the people in the city have been.
Matt, did you have a comment too?
Yeah, so I think Susan raised a good point, and others have touched on it as well, that like this is sort of new for us to look at something like childcare through the economic development lens. So I definitely agree that we wouldn't want to create a brand new program. The city already has childcare related programs, but I think that if we, for example, just picking on childcare for a second, if some aspects of childcare were to make it in the final version of the economic development plan, I think we would be looking at it from a different perspective. We would be looking at it more from the business side of the equation and the delivery of childcare from the entrepreneurs that run childcare centers. And we may decide in that context, in working with our colleagues in community development that run the existing childcare programs, that we maybe decide to make some changes there. So I completely agree that we don't want to do something that's redundant to what's already being done. I do think, though, that some of these areas, we would be looking at it from a different perspective than the city has maybe historically looked at it.
Thanks, Matt. Get
I'm
back
gonna
to you,
be,
Richard.
yeah, I'm just gonna move to the next slide since we've been like you guys have been reading those words for a while. So these are the other ones, right, that were here as under this the theme of empowering the workforce. So yeah, again, curious to see the do these make sense? Hopefully they make sense, but yeah, do the goals that are listed here feel realistic? And then when you look at both of these, is there a workforce support, and I'm definitely hearing you loud and clear of like the goal of all this should be to get people to not need the support. But like, yeah, I mean, is there something here that or not here that you expected to see?
Jeff?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that these things help the city at large. I mean, it's not just a specific demographic that these things will just benefit the city. I mean, just everything here allows for the city to work, I think, imaginably work more efficiently, and people have access to the things that they need. I mean, obviously, you float all boats when you do things that are beneficial for those at the bottom of the barrel, right? You're bringing everyone up to a certain level, but these things right here, I think, all fall in line with how you want a city to work in the first place. So I just wanted to just say those words.
Thanks, Chef. Yeah, I heartily agree with you. If we can, everybody benefits, crime goes down, families, have better lives. So, and then, everybody benefits from that.
Yeah, one thing you guys, a couple of you said earlier on, make sure like in that benefit, right, there is an economic impact for that benefit you could say, right? Some more direct than others, right? So like you know, if people are healthier, right, reduces absenteeism, increases productivity. There's lots of literature out there that demonstrates that, right? So like, I guess as this plan is sort of advancing, just to be able to say like it isn't just an investment, there is a return on that investment somehow. And it sounds like trying to make sure we're at least where we can, I don't think all of it, but where we can, to articulate like, you know, if we make this investment, we expect this return. And it's not just, you know, it's not just a unit count of 50, whatever we said, but that actually has a monetary impact, we hope, right? It could increase tax revenue because companies are more successful. It could allow more people to buy more houses. You know, like, I think there's probably things in here that we should, I'm assuming based on what I'm hearing from you guys, we should try to figure out how to articulate that stuff.
Yeah, Richard, in that vein, along with these suggestions, is there going to be data tracking so that, you know, if we go into programs, we'll be able to actually evaluate whether they're, you know, how they're working and set an expectation? You know, none of this is going to happen in 12 months, but, you know, when do we start to measure and when do we decide something's working or not working?
I don't know, Matt, that sounds like our conversation on Monday a little bit, right?
Yeah. So yes, I mean, I think our goal will be to, you know, track our progress. I mean, the first thing we have to do is we have to winnow down and figure out what are the initiatives that we're going to actually include in the economic development plan. Because obviously, as you all have noticed, as we go through all these, we're not going to have the time and resources to do everything that's in the slide deck. So first we have to figure out, you know, what are the key items that we want to focus our time as a city. But then yes, after we do that, then we do need to over time track our work. And the city, I do have to say, is getting better at doing this. One of the things that we're doing is we're switching over to a new web platform that allows the city to in a much easier way, provide information about our investments that we're making and the results that we're seeing. And the biggest area where we've been doing that as a city is relative to housing. And we now have a housing tracker that's on the city website that does an excellent job of indicating the number of units of housing that we're getting, both market rate and affordable, and tying that to the financial investment that we're making in housing. So I would envision that we could do a similar thing with some of these initiatives in the years ahead.
Thanks, Matt. Jeff?
Just one other quick comment. I think because of these, basically just what Matt said, and it's about kind of these are future implications of what the city might be, what the city might have to do to be able to bring all of this stuff on board. And I think we should take into account the technological impact. And obviously AI and a whole host of other things that are growing in technology world, like it's just growing very quickly and tremendously. And some of these things might be easier or less easier to do because of that technology. So I think envisioning all of this and how it might work in the future, we might want to think about how technology might affect some of these things so that we're on the equal footing and we're not trying to play catch up at that time. So going into it, trying to take advantage of the knowledge that we have right now in technology.
Yeah, great point. Seeing no other hands, I'm going to move to the next slide. Again, we're thinking about timing. Yeah, this one also has two slides. So, you know, when we were early in the process, we started hearing a lot about how do we do more to keep capital local. You know, a lot of funding expenditures go outside of Madison, right, and are supporting people elsewhere in the country. And so, like, so, you know, we talked about, you know, increasing the capture of local spending, creating the conditions that support neighborhood businesses. I think we heard a lot, both from a quality of place standpoint, like we want more vibrant neighborhoods where, you know, bring back the corner grocery store, corner store and those kinds of things. And then also like looking, this is also where entrepreneurs and like, you know, folks that want to start a business, want to hang the shingle out, want to go into a storefront someplace, you know, make sure that we have a effective ecosystem to support those folks, so that we have the small businesses that can capture the capital. So it's kind of like three, you know, broad areas. And so then under there, you see a number of actions. And so, yeah, some of them, as we've talked about before, like things like ensure the city meets the TBE goals for city purchases. I think, you know, I think there's some sense that sometimes that's great. Sometimes it's missing the mark. You know, are there buy local campaigns that can be, you know, this is an area like a lot of cities are trying to figure out. The Amazon effect or the Dollar General effect is affecting a lot of places. And people are trying to figure out how to, you know, battle back and try to keep some more of that capital locally. Yeah. And then other, you know, sort of strategies around using the land banking program, potentially of holding commercial property. I know this has been something throughout the pandemic. We've seen a lot of communities try to preserve local real estate to make sure it's affordable for local businesses. And, you know, that's an area that land banks can are playing a role in. And then neighborhood business districts. And I know this is something that's already happening. I know there's two neighborhood business districts that are like being reinvested in. And I think there's a sense of like more of that could be done. And then I think I'm going to stop rambling because I'm about to cough. So I'm going to get a drink of water and let you guys ask or give comments. So these are all perfect seeing based on.
Yeah. do we know what the circulation of the dollars are in the city of Madison right now? Do we have a sense of how long the money is staying in the city?
Yeah, right now, so far we have data in the, and I don't have it in front of me. And if I change my screen, it'll probably blow up my presentation. I can get you that and figure. I think right now we know how much is extracted, right? So it's, you know, like, you know, I think, don't quote me on this. I want to say it's like 60, 70% of all expenditures are extracted out, right? So it's like 30, 40% is kept locally. And so like, and when you look at the value of that, again, these are, there's like, models that, you know, sort of the companies that track expenditures through credit cards and stuff like that. And that's how these estimates are created. We think it's meaningful enough that could support hundreds of businesses in the community if we can figure out some way. And you know, like, we're not going to keep all of it. It's like, and we've in the community sessions, like, it's hard to battle against Amazon. It's really easy. Even if you care about this so much, it's really, but there are certain things that we can do that we're seeing in other places that are, you know, 10% change in that figure creates really meaningful impact. So anyways, yeah, sorry. That was a long answer. Sorry. I love what I do, so I talk too much sometimes. Sorry about that.
Susan?
You know, I'm going to specifically talk with Matt with this about this suggestion. I think one of the things that we've determined is there's really not a database within the city system that would identify all the small businesses that really support Madison community. And, you know, stop me if that's not fair, Matt, but I know when we're doing the walks and the assessments of, you know, what the needs are from some of these small businesses, we really have identified others that are out there that are unknown to some of us. And if I think about the technology and the database that we maybe need to begin with here, and this goes back to you, Jeff, talking about technology, is how do we bring the information together? How do we make sure all of that information is collected and identified so that people know where to go to do their shopping, to do, you know, their support? And then additionally, look at those businesses and see what they give back to the community. You know, for those small businesses that are actually supporting the community, how can we then, with all of these different themes and objectives and goals, give back to those same businesses? So, you know, I think first of all, we need to know who they are how we support them, how we identify them, and then what do we do with that information? So that's my comment. And maybe Matt, you can respond to that for me.
I guess I'm in agreement that we don't have a single database, a single sort of, you know, place for people to go to see where we have local businesses that provide certain goods and services within the community. So, you know, sometimes if you're Googling online, you can realize that, oh, there's a local business that I can go to that has a particular product. But admittedly, I think for the most part, that's not the case, that it's, you know, you might go online and order something from a national company, and in reality, that product is somewhere in the city, but you just don't know it.
Richard, can we, is it, as we look at this, somebody had already asked the question, where are we at with circulation? And then is there a city out there that has a higher circulation that we should aspire to and have a goal? Like if we're at 3 times circulation and Austin, Texas is at 4.5, is that something we want to aspire to? Or, but you know, I'm a very goal-oriented guy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I guess I'd like to see where are we at and where would we like to go?
Yeah, I don't know if we've linked completely to say, if you were like Austin or whatever, you know, whatever X, Y, and Z city,
right,
you could be at this. We have data on that, but yeah, I think we can definitely, we'll make sure that that's part of it. I do think to the point, kind of a couple points you guys have made, like, yeah, right now, like the city has a directory, DMI has a directory, Dane County's been trying to do a buy local program that, no offense to whoever's running that, but like, I think like to all that, like, I think there's a way also even like from a coordination, what you were saying before about like evaluating what's already out there, maybe make it better, right? So I think there's, and yeah, probably using AI or some other tools probably could do, make that work a lot better than currently, so. Yeah, so I'll make notes, obviously, and we'll follow up on the circulation part. Because there's two things. One is capturing more locally, and then certain businesses will circulate more than others, right? So like a retail establishment versus like dry cleaning, right? Or like there's different factors too that are sort of estimated because of like how they have to also buy their goods and services, right? Anyhow, I'm getting into really wonky on the economic side, but yeah, I think that there's probably some you could also prioritize certain types of businesses because you know they circulate more than capturing, right? So anyhow, we'll get into that. Yeah, looking at time. Yeah, I think I'm just going to go to the next one. We can come back because this one has three. We saved the most for last. This is more the traditional economic development strategy stuff, right, that you would see. And I meant to edit this. When I say develop sector partnerships, I know there are already some. I think it's the role of the city in engaging with the sector partnerships. And if there's not one, I think there's probably a couple areas that we've identified that there doesn't seem to be a functional partnership organization that's sort of out there. And you see a variety of things in here. So this is like both existing and new businesses and both traditional and growing, right? So like you see like this promoting employee ownership conversion, like that's an area that just because of many of the communities we work in, there's a generational transfer of ownership that sometimes is happening and happening well, like through ESOPs or other co-ops. Other times it's not going great. And so you're just losing that both generational wealth as well as local ownership of a business. And then, yeah, this is where the traditional like targeted business attraction comes into play. Supporting organizations, some of the industry specific career pathways, you know, apprenticeship programs. I think there is a growing sense in the country right overall that like people that work with their hands, we've kind of forgot about them and haven't been focused as much as on the folks that work with their hands. And that's, you know, the apprenticeship, I think, model is coming back strong because of that. Certainly we've heard about the green economy work that's been happening. And so, you know, is there opportunity around that? And then, Yeah, development and redevelopment of property. So there's also sort of this land use, like where do we want business to grow aspect to this? And so, and like, how do we do that? What are the tools that we need to basically have to be able to do that? So you'll see a number of recommendations and then goals associated with that.
So Richard, along with that, you know, one of the things that has been an ongoing issue in Madison is the ability to get projects through the city on a timely basis. And I know Kaba could probably talk to that a lot better, but is there anything in this plan to work to make things more streamlined so that things can actually go on a timely basis?
Yeah, I think
I can dive in because I remember there's on the you know, these are the summary slides, but as we're starting to put together the document, there is a recommendation around either through use of technology, increase staff that are in the area of development review to expedite projects, especially those projects that provide employment.
Okay. All right. Thanks, man.
Yep.
Yeah, we've boiled down like a couple hundred pages to 8 really dense slides. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything in the traditional, again, in this traditional economic development space that you expected to see or it's not here or things that jump out?
Jeff? Yeah, so I mean, we saw briefly something about transportation in the city and the flow of making transportation more accessible and making it easier. I'm helping out on another board that is about trying to kind of reimagine how the connectivity of the bike paths and the bike lanes and that around the city right now and trying to make sure that those things, I didn't realize this, a lot of the bike paths don't even connect. They like dead end at certain points and stuff like that. And they're trying to make connections here and there and stuff like that. Have we talked in a little more detail about like about the kinds of transportation or any change in the kinds of transportation in the city, or is that just we're at buses, we're at bike paths, that's kind of what it is? And is there anything or any other avenue that makes the barriers to like mobility better in some respect outside of just buses and bike paths?
Yeah, I think right now it's like, as you see here in the top one, I mean, I think it's largely like the metro, like the expanding service. But yeah, I think other mobility options, I think you're right on that. Yeah, we need to be holistic. Yeah, especially with the investments that have been made in some of the fixed route stuff, like you can have bikes be the last mile to the fixed route, right? You know, I think like we've been hearing that from the community that like do better about linking mobility options for people.
Yeah, I mean, biking shuts down when not for everyone. The winter hits around here. Winters are pretty extreme, and that's a cutoff, you know, and maybe just an evolution of routes, busing routes during the winter seasons might just be a change. Like we increase routes and we have them go to different places that they wouldn't otherwise go to during the summer. You know, the Beltline, the hours that the high occupancy vehicle lanes are available might change at certain times during the year. I know sometimes on a day it was really, really, really busy and the lane is shut down, that would help the flow of traffic quite a bit. And where those lanes go to, maybe, you know, expansion of those lanes, you know, things like that, that really are sensitive to the change in weather and sensitive to times during the day, or a little more sensitive to times during the day, that will lend to those issues we have with people being able to get around the city.
Matt?
I think that's a great segue into some of the other ideas that are included within the slide deck that maybe sort of try to tackle that from a different perspective. So in addition to looking at how do we better move people from point A to point B, one of the things that we've identified is how do we ensure that you have spaces for new employers to locate throughout the city embedded within neighborhoods. So sort of prevent the need from people to pick on the Beltline for a second, you know, maybe reduce the number of trips that people have to take on the Beltline. So as we're thinking about redevelopment of areas of the city, that's why you'll see some of the ideas that are centered on land banking, having a interdepartmental staff teams that take an active role at specifically looking at implementing our plans, similar to what we did in the Capital East District, so that you perhaps have people that they can live, work, and, you know, go out to dinner without having to necessarily go on the Beltline every time they want to do one of those activities.
Okay. Back to you, Richard.
Yeah, I'm happy to.
I'm sorry. Can I just really quickly back to Matt. Matt, does that include new businesses and the possibility of economic growth from new businesses, and also trying to entice other larger corporations that are you know, kind of anchored outside the city to have offices within the city too? Or is that just like a trying to create a all new business? I mean, I'm taking into account a company like Epic or something like that, that obviously is very large and they're huge in Verona. And the possibility of them having a campus. I know they had a small campus here in the city, and then I think they shut it down or something like that. I'm not quite sure exactly if that happened, but like, no, they're a large employer, and being able to like entice other large employers into this space in a reasonable and responsible way back into the city. Does that include something like that?
Yes, I think it's both attracting new businesses and helping existing businesses grow within the city. I think a great example is American Family Insurance. Obviously, their main corporate campus is located on the Far East Side, but they did open a building in the Capital East District, so very close to downtown. And, you know, they likely wouldn't have done that if the city, working with the private sector, wouldn't have taken all the steps to make that a desirable neighborhood for a business like American Family to locate. So how do we look at other neighborhoods throughout the city that are evolving and changing, and be mindful about having space available for mid to large employers to be able to locate, and then be in proximity to retail, be in proximity to residential as well?
Susan?
Yes. My comment, I just have two very quick ones. I had a young lady who wanted to go work at St. Mary's Hospital, but unfortunately the bus that she would have had to have taken wasn't running at the time that she would have needed to work, the 11 p.m. to the 7 a.m. shift. So I think we not only do we have to look at routes, we also have to look at the times that these services are being offered. And that's my first comment, because this would have been a wonderful job for her. And unfortunately, because of transportation, she couldn't do it. I think the second comment I have is that we have to understand the sheer number of individuals that come from outside the city limits of Madison to work here. And we have to figure out, you know, how do we bring those people in? How do they help support the community? And yes, there are neighborhoods that we have to think about, but those individuals come and work within those neighborhoods. And we just can't forget them. And I'm just trying to see where they would fit into all of these various goals. So maybe, Richard, you can help me with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can share one idea that I have in that regard. So if you look at, for example, so yes, our labor shed, and Seth probably knows this information by heart, some of it, that yes, we attract a lot of people from counties outside of Dane County and then the more rural parts of Dane County. You know, we have the area around Easttown Mall is likely going to be developing in the decades ahead. And it's located right off of the interstate. You also have, there's been talk for years about a new Milwaukee Street interchange, again, opening up the far northeastern portion of the city to opportunities. Like being mindful about, you know, how do we create spaces within those areas that can have small, medium, and large corporate employers so that people are able to easily access those employment opportunities, even if they live outside of the city. And then at the same time, you know, you look at Easttown Mall is now well served by Bus Rapid Transit. So you could have a major employer locate in that area around Easttown Mall, and they would be able to well serve people that take the bus that maybe live within the city, as well as people that take the car that live in, let's say, Columbia County.
Thanks, Matt. Okay, Richard, back to you.
I think that, I mean, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I mean, that was my slide. So we were able to meet your time. We're open for feedback. Again, you know, if there's things that this has been very helpful, I took good notes, I think, in terms of next steps and follow up and some things that we'll make sure we're following through with you guys in the short term. Yeah, we're working with Matt and team, I think, to kind of keep advancing sort of where we've been in the documentation. And to your point, whoever likes looking at other ideas, like a lot of promising practices of other places that are doing neat things, and then like evaluating what and looking at what's happening already in the community to build upon. So all that's coming together. So this was a chance to get, you know, both in this call and then, you know, sort of immediately after, if you have a reaction later on to what any of these things, please send a note to the team, and we'll make sure we're incorporating that. And then Matt, I don't know if you want to say anything else about next steps then in terms of where we go over the next few weeks and the next few months then.
Sure, happy to. So a big item that you should be aware of is that on December 11th, we're going to have the next community meeting for the plan, and I'll make sure to forward everyone the invite for that. It's going to be in the evening, starting at 5 o'clock. It'll be via Zoom, so very easy for people to engage. So that will be, we're going to be rolling out an even briefer version of this slideshow that you saw at that community meeting. We will then work after the holidays to kind of take that final information and work with Fourth Economy and EQT by Design to prepare a document that sort of memorializes all of this. And Rich kind of alluded to that we've kind of started working on that draft. As we get that draft sort of more firmed up, we will share it with you, and you can weigh in, provide any input that you have. And then that will basically conclude our work with Fourth Economy and EQT by Design. And then our role as a committee and as city staff through 2026 will be then to pull out those ideas that we really want to focus on as a city and turn that into our economic development plan. And so basically we will pivot from, you know, you can think about it over the past year, we've been sort of casting a wide net and trying to get a lot of ideas from a lot of different people. In 2026, we're going to now go from that large group of ideas and winnow it down to what is a reasonable economic development plan for the city.
So, Richard, if somebody on the committee wakes up tomorrow and has a thought or a question, how would they get in touch with you?
Yeah, probably through the team. I mean, my email, I think I'm CC'd on stuff, but yeah, I think what, Matt, is it best to send it through?
Yeah, you can send it to me and then I can get it to Rich.
Okay. Great. Okay. Well, Richard, thank you so much. This is some wonderful work. Really appreciate what you and your folks are doing. We look forward to the final product when it's done, and then winnowing through it and figuring out what we can accomplish.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Appreciate all the feedback. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay, Matt, you're up on Economic Development Division budget overview.
Thank you, Chair. And also, I just want to echo thanks to Rich for all of his great work. And thank you to all of you for all the great feedback that you provided today. So the next item on the agenda is adopting the 2026 Economic Development Division budget overview. So as you likely saw in the news, the budget was adopted by the council last week, Tuesday. And I'm going to just provide a very brief overview of what was included in that budget document for economic development. Just by way of background, there are two components to the budget. There's the capital budget and the operating budget. On the capital budget side, the Economic Development Division budget has $10.6 million of expenditures in 2026. Just highlighting some of those, our land banking program has $1 million to purchase property, as well as $500,000 to demo 1814 South Park Street, which is the final building to be demoed as part of the former All Metals area that we hope to redevelop. We have $500,000 for our small business development programs for areas outside of TIF districts. So these could be used anywhere in the city. And then we have a significant amount of funding for small business programs within four TIF districts. We have $600,000 in TID 50. We have up to $2.4 million in TID 51, although some of that will likely be used for other things. $400,000 in TID 53 and $750,000 in TID 54. So TID 50 is State Street, TID 51 is South Madison. TID 53 is the area kind of downtown on the portion of the side of the square where the municipal building is located. And then TID 54 is the Packers, Pennsylvania corridor, which includes the old Oscar Mayer facility. We have $250,000 for the Healthy Retail Access Program. And then we also have funding for our property holding costs. So that is on the capital side of the budget. On the operating side of the budget, our operating budget for 2026 is $2.7 million. We maintain all of our staff positions for next year. We maintain all of the food programs that we've talked about in previous years. We maintain the Kiva Madison program that we've talked about previously. We have an addition of some funding to purchase a software license to work with IT to develop a better tracking system for our small business programs. This has been something that the EDC has talked about in the past. Right now, Ruth manages everything on a giant Excel spreadsheet, which is probably not the best way to manage that. So we're going to work with IT to move to a management system to better manage and track those small business programs. The bid is getting a slight reduction. I should say the Downtown Business Improvement District is getting a slight reduction, but they'll still get $56,000 of funding in 2026. And then the council has directed us in 2027 that in lieu of providing funding directly to the downtown bid, that we have a request for proposal to seek interest from other entities that might be interested in downtown programming as well. The bid certainly is eligible to apply for that, and the bid could receive funding through that RFP, but we would start that RFP process in 2027. And then finally, we got a slight increase in some of our business outreach funding, which allows us to do things such as the business walks. And so we'll have $22,000 in 2026 to do that type of business outreach. So all in all, I think it's a great budget. It has a lot of resources for economic development on both the capital and the operating side. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
You did such a fine job. There are no questions.
People didn't understand anything I said.
I think they did. Thank you, Matt. That was great to catch us up with that. Appreciate it.
I'm sorry, Matt. I do have a question. With this new software, are you able to then collect and somehow identify all of the businesses within the city. Can you somehow put that into some kind of format so that others might have access to that information?
So not for the funding that we have for this particular initiative. This particular initiative will just be creating a sort of, it'll be a like a project management system that from the time that people apply to our small business programs to the time that we disperse funds to the time that we track in the long run, you know, is the business still open? As we move forward, as we've talked about before, you know, the EDC may want us to start tracking a little more about, you know, what jobs are created and the like. So this is going to be like a project management system that's focused specifically on people that are applying for funding and then ultimately receive funding. I'll just be very honest. There's not a good system in place today that identifies all the businesses in the community. There are some proxies. You can buy mailing lists. And we've done this in the past as a city. And you know, that's a good sort of starting point. It maybe captures, let's say, 80% of the businesses. There are tend to be, you know, sort of error rates there where you'll get, you know, businesses that are closed or, you know, have moved or what have you. You can get some information from DFI, but that, you know, picks every single incorporated, you know, it might be a sole proprietorship that someone incorporated. And, you know, so it really picks up a lot of, you know, yes, they're businesses, but they might be like a condo association or another, you know, organization rather than perhaps a business. So there really isn't a good sort of central list of all the businesses that are in the city. I mean, the upshot is, just being perfectly honest, like if you asked me how many businesses are in the city of Madison today, we simply don't know.
Okay, something to work towards.
Yep. Maybe with AI, 5 years from now, we'll have a... we'll have that solved.
Yep, that's exactly right. You will. Okay, on to Ruth. You want to bring us up to date on what's new in your dashboard?
Yes, hi, thank you. I can share it with you if you'd like. I think I... Oh, no. Oh my gosh, that was my performance review. That I didn't mean to show.
Well, we didn't see it.
It's okay. I gave myself great review, so just kidding. Let's see. Sorry, guys. Oh, I thought it had it up, but it defaulted. Okay, let's see. I'm so sorry. Give me one more second.
Well, while you're looking, I'll remind everybody that our next meeting is going to be December 17th. If you would, early on, I know it's holiday season, you know, let Matt know whether you're going to be able to attend that meeting or not, so we can decide whether we have enough folks to actually have the meeting. Matt?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Point out that we're going to have a couple referrals at that December meeting, so it would be really, really great if we could meet. If people have a hard no that they're traveling or something, please let us know as soon as possible so that we can know sooner rather than later if we're going to miss quorum.
Okay. All right, Ruth, back to you.
And one of the referrals is actually going to be the updates to the building improvement program that we've discussed. So We'll be introducing it in December to council, and then it will come here for a review. So in October, we had a couple building improvement grants, Klein's on the east side and Sunshine Daydream on State Street. And then we also had a Kiva, a successful Kiva loan for Kingdom Kids, which is a Montessori daycare. And then the facade grant had one on Jennifer Street, Creative Grocery Concepts. And then the big one that you may have read about in the paper was Stella's of Madison, Stella's Bakery. They are doing two projects. One is they are opening a retail space on Regent Street, and you may have heard about that. They're also purchasing and you know, redoing a building on Sain Road that will be primarily their bakery and warehouse and offices. So these are, that's an exciting kind of expansion of a beloved Madison business. Does anyone have any thoughts or questions?
Can you go back to the first page and tell us a little bit about Klein's and
Yeah, so Klein's, they are doing a major project on East Washington Avenue, upgrading that whole area. They've done some improvements. They're going to be redoing some of the back greenhouses and some other kind of facilities work there. So they're making a large investment in their current space.
Are there going to be additional jobs created?
I don't know. I don't know.
So I have a quick question. Concern. It says they're a floral and greenhouse business. Is that a year-round greenhouse? Do they have indoor greenhouses? Are they providing food to like restaurants or stuff like? Is it a larger entity or is it just flowers?
Flowers and plants and landscaping.
Okay, I was just curious.
No food.
Okay, so are we going to get a lot more in real estate taxes?
Yes.
Okay.
That good. We will get.
All right.
So that will happen for this one.
And Sunshine Daydream, what is that?
Sunshine Daydream has been on State Street for a long time. They are a smoke shop and sort of, I think they call themselves like a hippie gift shop. So it's kind of tie-dyed things, rolling papers. I think they do hemp or CBD stuff now. And they have been in that 600 block of State Street for many years now.
So is there a reason that we're doing the whole thing and that they're not putting anything into it?
Yeah, so we allow that as of now. We do allow that. They don't have to match for this grant. For some of these smaller projects, often we are the full amount of the project. It just depends sometimes. So but for this one, we are the full amount of the project. And usually if they're under 50,000, that's kind of what happens.
Hey, anybody else have any questions for Ruth? Kava?
Ruth, you talked about Stella having two projects. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more and how are those applying for totally separate grants or is it bundled into one?
I'll let Matt or Saran confirm this, or Mike, if he's still on, I believe that they are not receiving any funding for their Regent Street project, as that project is not in a TID, that fund small business programs. So the only funding they're receiving is for that Syene Road, which is in TID 51, I believe. And so that's the only one that they're receiving funding for.
This is Mike. That is correct.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay. Thank you, Ruth. I don't see any other questions. Matt, did you have any final comments?
I do not.
Okay. Then we need a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion to
adjourn. Okay. Got a motion and a second?
I'll second it.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. All in favor, please raise your hand or say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, everybody. We'll see you December 17th. Have a very happy Thanksgiving and look forward to that next meeting.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night.